The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perreault columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We're off to Queensland today, specifically around the Cloncurry region. An area, of course, where we know there's lots of big mines, Cannington, Mount Isa, and we're talking about a potential future producer in that part of the world
held by Maronan Metals.
ASX code is MMA. Last traded around 28.5 cents, to be precise, for a market cap of $45 million. Now, I'm sure most listeners would know the company was spun out by Red Metals back in I think it was April 22, with a specific task of getting its namesake mine in that Cloncurry in the Cloncurry region into production in the future. So with that, I'm going to introduce the MD, Richard Cull, who will give us a rundown on where the company's at and what he sees, how he sees the future unfolding. G'day, Richard. Welcome to the podcast.
How are you, Barry? Yeah, great to be with you.
April 22, you've been busy since then. Last year was a particularly big year for you. I think you drilled about 17,000 metres, and that's allowed you to recently, in recent days, update the resource base at the project. Can you give us how it came out?
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Yeah, and that description you gave, which I think is great as to how we came into existence, Maronan Metals, it was a spin out from Red Metal, with that specific, I suppose the brief was turn a discovery into a mine. And I think that's something that we're finding maybe differentiates us a bit from some people that have got lots of projects on. It gives us a single focus. And that, as you said, the 17,000 metres that we've drilled since IPO at the end of April 2022 has culminated in something that we released at the start of this past week that we're really excited about. So there's been significant work by our team on the ground in Cloncurry, and that drilling wound up in the December quarter, and it's taken us the last couple of months to wrap that together into a great result with the improved resources and I think importantly getting the first indicated resource was a major milestone for me. So we're excited, and I think that's the thing that says, look, we're moving and we're moving apace.
To simplify things a bit, the total resource base came out at 118 million ounces of silver, 2 million tonnes of lead, 272,000 of copper, and around 72,000 ounces of gold. But it's not that simple. You've got these discrete silver, lead, and gold, copper, and then gold-only zones. That indicated resource came out from what you're calling the starter zone, which I think gives everyone a clue about what the intention there is. Talk about this starter zone.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks, Barry. Yeah, the fact that contained metal is an interesting lot of numbers there, and I think that sort of goes a long way to say this is a big deposit, and you look at the in-ground value of all that metal that you just mentioned there, there's in the order of US dollars 10 billion in the ground, so we've a fair bit to start with. But yes, the starter zone, because of its name, that it's something that we just nominally designated a 500 metre long and 600 metre deep zone that we figured if we could get some enough indicated ore identified in that area, it would be enough to sort of start a mine. If you could get in the order of a 5 to 10 year mine, and be able to talk about the economics, which of course, while we've had an inferred resource to this stage, we haven't been able to make public those sort of things, then we figured we'd be well on the path to developing a mine.
Now, that starter zone resource was broken down into indicated, inferred, and outside. And the outside component, 21 million tonnes at 6.5% lead and 105 grams tonne silver. What did you mean by outside?
If you look at a long section, you see this starter zone on a long section. It's only a very small proportion of the total resource. Anything that isn't in the starter zone, we're terming outside, and that's still inferred. And we've done very little work on that over the last year. We've really had the focus on where we figured the highest grades and the best widths are, which are within their starter zone. So that the starter zone at this stage has got 11 million tonnes in total, but that indicated, which is 2 million tonnes, 5.3% lead and 155 grams silver, is certainly, you know, very, very striking. And that's at a 4% lead cutoff grade. And if you were to, in fact, use a silver cutoff grade, you can get some pretty spectacular results. That, I mean, a very high grade. I think could be 1 million tons at 6% lead and 240 grams silver. And the reason that by choosing a different cutoff grade, you see the differences in results there, that we've got two zones, an eastern and a western horizon. There's one that's more silver rich and the other one is more lead rich. So depending on how you cut it, you can get some slightly different numbers, but regardless, there's a lot of high grades and importantly, good thicknesses of silver lead mineralization quite near to the surface. So this starter zone would be, you know, just 100 meters below surface would be where it starts, which for an underground mine is pretty close to the surface. Starter, as the term that we've used for it, is exactly that. It's where you would be first mining. And I think any mine that can have good grades and widths near to the surface is going to be well on the way to repaying its capital quite quickly. So they're the sort of things we would like to think we're not that we're heading towards with being able to demonstrate some good economics near to the surface. Interestingly, that indicated 2 million tonnes we've got is really only 3% of the total silver lead resource we've got. So we have just scratched the surface. And I think that one of the great positives of the last year's drilling is the benefit that we're showing from the close space drilling is confirming these high grade shoots and be very regular and thick.
Now that sort of resource does point to a sort of 5-10 year mine life potential. But then you have the copper gold area and the gold only area. So is potentially this a multi-decade sort of proposition?
That's exactly right. And you look at, so, you know, 30 million tonnes of silver lead, 30 million tonnes of copper gold, and even a couple of million tonnes of gold only. But most of it, of course, in the inferred resource status. But yes, that certainly can be the case. And I think some of these, the base metals mines, you look at most of them around the country. I know I started my career on the west coast of Tasmania at Rosebery, and that's been going for a long time. And we would like to think that when you get underground, you know, you're going to be able to more economically drill the deeper stuff and could see it go on for a long time. I mean, part of the 17,000 metres that we drilled in the last year has tested deep targets, and we've shown that at 1,200 metres below surface, the same tenor of mineralisation is continuing. So, I think, Barry, you're right. There's a potential quite long life operation once we're able to get the thing going.
And you're obviously in that part of the world famous for ISCG style deposits. Is this ISCG style, iron sulfide, tapping the mantle, as it were?
You get a couple of geologists in a room, you get about four opinions. Is probably what we're finding. But look, a sedimentary hosted silver lead mineralization is what we're saying, and I think we're sort of seeing copper that's got to be have some similarities with Eloise, which is just across the road, which is the iron sulfide copper gold. So I think we know we've got quite a monster here, and we don't know the bottom of it. So there's more work to do on that.
I guess the silver lead is, does it have any similarities to South 32's Cannington mine, the biggest silver producer in the country?
There's some similarities. I suppose the talk of the Broken Hill style mineralization is similar. What we don't have in big proportions at this stage, at least we haven't found it, is any zinc. And probably, every now and again, we'll get a little blob of zinc here and there. And look, maybe that's a clue for our guys to look from an exploration perspective, where is that? But that probably differentiates it a bit. We do have significantly more copper than I think Cannington would have. But I think that lead silver and compatibility, perhaps even with the sort of processing techniques that they're using, will be very much something that we'll be looking at.
So let's just fix in people's minds where the deposit is. Now, Cloncurry, what a great pub, but not much else. But Cloncurry itself isn't all that far from Mount Isa. But I'm thinking, how far away are you, say, from Cannington and Eloise's and Osborne's?
Okay, so Eloise is the closest, only 16 kilometres away. So that's a very close. Cannington is around about 90. The other silver lead or the lead zinc mine is Dugal River, which would be about 120 kilometres away. You're talking copper gold, you've got Ernest Henry probably 90 kilometres away. We're right in elephant country. And look, that gives us some options perhaps even when you come to looking at processing. Like we believe the project as sort of we see it and the size of it, it would be able to justify its own processing plant, but there may be other more cost-effective options if there's capacity in nearby plants that that could be utilised. So we're not ruling that out, and that'll be part of studies that are being done. In fact, when Red Metal did a study in 2016, and which was an internal one because that was on an inferred resource too, they looked at those options. Of course, there's a significant capital a cost saving if you don't have to build a mill. So all those things will be part of what we're looking at as we go.
So one of the benefits of being in the famous mineral province there. Okay.
Correct. Yep, absolutely. And I think, look, there's a number of parties and governments, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense these days. How can infrastructure that already exists be better utilised? And I think, some responsibility falls with us to see, are we doing the best thing? And if utilising someone else's plant works and it can be done economically for both parties, well, let's try and do that.
You have an indicated resource now, and obviously the work is ongoing, but I'm just wondering, does that allow you to revisit that internal scoping study that Red Metal did in 2016?
Yes, in fact, only this week, because now we've finalised that resource, we've passed the geological information on to the same group that did the Red Metal study in 2016 to do exactly that. So they'll input the latest geology, update it with cost changes that have happened between 2016 and now, which of course will be fairly significant. So we expect maybe a couple of months from now to have a report that we know at this stage we haven't got enough indicated that we're going to be able to report a fair bit of the financials of that. However, there will be aspects of it that I think, similar to what Red Metal did back in 2016, we will be able to report, and that's something we are looking forward to.
How should the company at this stage be seen? Are you a play on silver, or is the copper gold potentially going to be bigger at some stage, or is the silver lead starter operation big enough in itself?
I think the silver lead, Barry, will be the first thing, and where, I mean, the silver and the lead components are similar. Do you say silver lead or do you say lead silver? There's probably not a lot of difference, but I think people these days, there is a with the decarbonisation and the amount of silver that goes into solar panels, it's sort of almost an ounce for every one. There's a lot of demand for silver. I think we saw from the Silver Institute at their last report, there was about a 750,000 ounces shortfall between production and demand in last year. So, yeah, we're probably pitching it, if anything, as a silver deposit. But look, most of the best silver mines, many of them, in fact, are lead mines. So that will come with it. The copper gold, I think that's a far more important part of the story than was perhaps perceived earlier. But we've got sort of work to do there, and that will probably kick in as an important part of production a little bit deeper than this starter zone. So I think regardless of whether you said it was a copper play or a silver one, we're going to be, you know, developing past the silver to get to the main part of the copper. So I would think the silver will come first anyway.
One of the beauties about silver too, of course, is that there's plenty of funds out there, particularly out of the US, obviously, for streaming type deals that could be a source of potential finance.
Yes, those sort of things. So people are talking to us on a range of those sorts of things, and you're right, mainly probably the North Americans seem to have a very bullish outlook on silver. And I think it's sort of similar to, and we even heard some or saw some sort of movement with the copper price recently. I know a lot of these projections that are being made to meet the energy transition targets have made you think that even before now, copper and silver should have been, you know, much higher priced than they are. But hopefully that will come at some stage. But look, even at today's prices for both those metals, it's a pretty compelling story that we have here.
Silver has actually been in a sort of upwards trend in $8 since 2014, and this week was just under US $25 an ounce. And you touched on something interesting there. I thought about the future-facing metals, as one large company out there calls them. Other calls them strategic metals, critical metals, or green metals. Silver has particular applications, of course, in solar panels and the like.
Yes, it's and very broadly used in that area, and of course it still is the a classic store of wealth, sort of along with gold as a precious metal too. We see there is a good strong future in silver, and looking at it in $8 terms, it's been on an upward trend for quite some time now. So we're confident in that as a future. And I don't think you can probably discount lead too, with a lot of work is being done for some of these big batteries that are being used for storage.
Stationary storage.
You know, you only have to put them in place. It, to some extent, it doesn't matter how big and heavy they are. If they do the job and can store energy efficiently, you know, they will have a part to play as well.
Now, Richard, you're a very polite man, so I won't expect you to name them, but your peers on the ASX all have market caps bigger than yours. Well, one of them by a factor of 6 or 7 times. What is it that, why are you trading at a discount at this stage, you think?
Yeah, great question. It's got us puzzled too a bit. Look, I suppose one thing we say about peers, it's almost, we nearly think we don't necessarily have peers, because probably the companies that have deposits similar to what we've got are the majors. You know, we might have a slightly smaller deposit, but I think the silver mines here in New South Wales would be the logical comparison, I suppose. But and at market cap of, I think, what, $240 million, and we're 40. So it is significant where we are, and it being a really mining friendly jurisdiction, I think leaves us, got a lot of things going for us because of the region we're in, and it's comparable amount of actual metal. Yeah, we're left a bit puzzled too, and for that reason, I think we're a very good investment opportunity, because we think we've got a fair way to go before we can be up with those sort of market caps.
Let's wrap it up and give investors a feel for what news flow will look like for the rest of the year.
Okay, well, the big milestone, of course, was this week on the resource. The next thing that we're going to be seeing was probably within the next month or so. We've been doing metallurgical test work primarily on the copper gold, and that is being wrapped up and reported on now, so we will have a report on that. We have the scoping study, the internal one, which will have some aspects we'll be able to report on, is probably 2.5, maybe 3 months from now. But the big thing will be we're keen to get back drilling. And with the having looked at the results from the resource review, our Cloncurry-based exploration manager, Andrew Barker, is really rearing to go and has identified some great targets now that hopefully we'll be able to build on that indicated resource, because that's the key for us. I think then it'll be drilling results for the balance of this year, Barry.
All righty, here we go, folks. A very interesting one. Company on the development pathway with silver lead to start off with, and copper gold more than likely to follow in future years. So an interesting one. So Richard, we'll be watching with interest, and thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much, Barry, for having me.
Cheers.